Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we thank you for being the way maker, Father. We thank you that you are the promise keeper. Glory to your name. We thank God for our children today. Let's give them another round of applause. You may be seated in the presence of the King of Glory. We thank God for everyone who had a part to make sure for our first children's, our first youth department time of ministry that it was successful. And I thank God for those leaders. Amen. Give them a hand clap. Amen. Amen. I'm excited about resurrection season. It's been a lot going on in this time, and y'all see I have my victory rag. I'm ready to preach this morning. I've come with the gospel all marinated in my heart and my soul, and I come declaring our victory this morning and with royalty, glory to God. I was headed out the door, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, grab your handkerchief. I said, oh, we going to church today. Hallelujah. Truly, it has been a season for many, not just for me or not for one, just one person. It's been a season of really navigating through some tough stuff. Things that's painful and hurtful. But I come to preach this morning the gospel. And when the gospel comes forth, there's no way that you can sit in your seat. There's no way you can stay down and depressed. Because it's just something about the good news that take you to a different place. Amen. So I come bearing good news this morning that he is a resurrected Savior. And everything that you need is all in him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I just want you to give God some praise in me this morning. I just want to worship a little bit longer before we go into the word. God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your resurrection power in this place this morning. I thank you for your healing virtue that's in this place this morning, God. Father, we thank you for the anointing that's in this house, God. The anointing that destroys every yoke, Father. We thank you that the captive being set free right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we proclaim your healing right now, your healing anointing, your healing virtue, Father. We thank you right now. Glory to you in name, Jesus. We thank you right now that we have victory over every obstacle, over every circumstance, over every situation, Father. For you are arisen, God. And we come to worship you, God. We come to worship you in spirit and truth. We come to adore you, Adonai. We come to rejoice in you for who you are. You are awesome and magnificent in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you would turn with me this morning to, I have a couple of scriptures that I want to take my time and walk through. I want to go to Zechariah 9 and 9 is one scripture, and the other scriptures will be John chapter 12, verse 12 through 15. I know it's going to be a little bit of reading, you know, nowadays we do just one scripture and kind of keep it moving, but I want to take time just to really hear what the text is saying and what the Lord is speaking in this hour during this time, this Palm Sunday. This is a glorious Palm Sunday. Even the winds had to stop, had to break up. Sunlight is here. Just kind of symbolic of what the Lord is doing. I'm chasing, I'm coming through your storms. I'm bringing a daybreak. I'm bringing a daylight. I'm coming through. I'm bringing you through every storm because I am the resurrected Savior. And you can declare that this Palm Sunday. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. I mean, in the midst of your trouble. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest is the highest, but he is the highest. And so Zechariah 9 and 9, we read in Acts 9, verse 9 through 10 in the Message Bible. If you're out of respect for the word of God, would you please stand? Shout and cheer, daughter Zion. Raise the roof, daughter Jerusalem. Your king is coming. Somebody say it with me. Your king is coming. Your king is coming. A good king who makes all things right. A humble king riding a donkey. A milk coat of a donkey. John chapter 12, verse 12 through 15 in a New King James Version. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to him to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." You may be seated. And if I had to title this sermon tonight, today, it would be Anointed for Victory. Anointed for Victory. Because he was anointed, we are anointed to live a victorious life. Around this time of the year, it gives us a chance to kind of reflect on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as I was thinking about that, and the prophetic ministry, how when you're prophetic, there's some things that come to you that you get so excited about that you want to know. Either, oh, when it comes to, oh, I'm going to be delivered, or I'm going to be set free, or the thing I've been pressing into, it's getting ready to happen. But how many of you know you can't turn the prophetic on and off? Sometimes some things come to you that you don't want to hear, that you don't want to know. And you have a choice to two ways to respond. You can respond to it a God way, or you can respond to it in a negative way. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we see him, his prophetic ministry, how he walked the earth and he just prophesied and he healed and he delivered. And he not only did he prophesy, he said, "I am the fulfilled prophecy." He walked it out in the fulfillment of the prophecy. But there were three times that we find in the text where Jesus began to predict his death. Now, see, if I saw something come, I said, "Nah, the devil gave me that dream." I wouldn't say it came from God. The devil is a liar. That can't be God. But Jesus, coming with a mission, understood the purpose and the mission of the Father. And even though he predicted three different times of his death and resurrection, he didn't do it out of fear. He didn't do it out of giving glory to the enemy. He knew that he was going to walk the thing out with great victory and great power and great anointing. Not that it was going to be easy, but he didn't fight from the place of defeat. He fought from the place, "I'm victorious already." He didn't look left. He didn't look right. He kept his face just set on his Father. In other words, the spirit of distraction couldn't get him off course. And a lot of times things come to distract us, to keep us off course, so we can't see that we're not defeated people. We are the triumphant reserve. We are victorious people. There's no reason why we need to walk with our head down and our heart broken when we know that there's something that's hitting us, upon us, because we should already know we fight from the place of victory. It's already won. It's already done. And when you can get that in your spirit, there's nothing that can hold you down. There's nothing that can take you to a place, because you know that God has already fixed this thing. It's already fixed. So you get a doctor's report, and the doctor say, "You have this." But God has said that he's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's the one who gets what it was. He can speak it into existence. So when we press into that, we can say, "But my God," this is the report, "but my God has already called me to have victory." And so we see Jesus, with prediction number one, and you can just write this down and read it later. But the disciples and Peter, which was a disciple, walking with Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. And this is one of the first predictions where he's walking with the disciples. And they watching these great miraculous things happen. And they watching the King of Glory come in and invade disease and turn it into healing. They watch the King of Glory coming into what the demonic and cause the mind to settle, cause peace to come, and cause every spirit to take flight. Oh my, can you imagine being one of the disciples walking? Ooh, like, I got to be with that group. I have to be with Jesus. Because when Jesus walks in the middle of a situation, everything has to change. Can you imagine walking with Jesus? Even when people would come to persecute him, he was just as cool as a cucumber. Y'all know how Pastor Mike, he's just so cool. He'd come up here, he'd preach. I might have taken him a little pocket deal today. The pocket anointing. He'd come in here just as cool. You can forget it. Hang your head up. When he put his hand in the pocket, he's getting ready to take you to Zion. And that's how Jesus was. Persecution. Rejection. Oppression, doubt, unbelief. And he walked in just as cool. Did not my father say it? Watch this miracle. Did not my father say it? Can it blow your mind? Did not my father authorize me to turn this thing around? Just as cool. Because he understood the power and the authority that had already been vested to him. The disciples would say, oh, we have this situation, this problem. One time Jesus said, you faithless, perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I, have you learned anything by now? That when I walk in the midst of something, I say something, it has to change. He's just good like that. So in this text, we find Peter and the other disciples enjoying the goodness of the Father. And then Peter began to really magnify him and say how good he was. And he was the Son of God. And then Jesus looked at him and began to affirm his calling and began to speak destiny. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. He began to really speak the things that he could see. 2 seconds in pass. Before Peter was like, when Jesus began to predict his death. Oh, no, that can't happen. Peter, who he thought he was? He was talking to Jesus, trying to tell Jesus what he could and could not do. You ever tried to tell Jesus what he could and could not do in your situation? I've tried a time or two. It didn't work well for me. How did it work for you? It didn't work well for me. Because when he speaks, he looked at Peter and he said, he began to cast it, that Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Satan, get behind me. 1 minute glorious. 1 minute affirming. Then the next minute, Peter was persuaded to hear his own voice, his own judgment, and Jesus had to line him up and get him straight. Father, help us this morning where we don't see our own judgment and our own voice, but let us hear your voice, even if it seem unto death. That's one prediction. But the Lord said, this need be. I don't necessarily like it, but I'm going to get the glory. More than me getting the glory, my Father's going to get the glory. And when we get the glory, we have a glorious bride, a glorious church, because we have already won the victory. Prediction number 2. We find that over in the text, Mark 9, verses 30 through 32. Jesus walking with his disciples, he began to tell them again about his death and his resurrection. And the Bible says that they could not understand it. There's some things that happen in life that Jesus speaks. We really have no clue as to what he's really saying. I want to give you a personal testimony. Walking in the prophetic, when I had my second child, I dreamed before I had my child that baby was going to die. I didn't like it. I didn't understand it. I didn't want it. And instead of me praying about it and going to the Father about revelation and unveiling my eyes and giving me clear understanding, I began to reject what was being spoken to me. And one day my mom came to visit me, and I was standing just, I was about 8-9 months pregnant, was gonna soon have the baby. And so I'm having all these dreams of chaos. And my mom said something to me. I said, Mom, if I have this baby, something wrong with it, I'm going to leave it at the hospital. She looked at me, girl, you lost your mind. I guess I had temporarily. But I knew that something was happening. And I didn't understand it. And it hurt. And I didn't want to receive it. And sure enough, when I had my baby, he was born with a rare skin disease called epidermolysis bullosa, where he had his dermis and his epidermis didn't connect the way they should. So basically on touch, a lesion would create and leave the area denuded. It's hard to live without skin. And the skin tissue's all on the inside. And so my baby did die. And I went about 3 years in this wilderness mentality. Angry. See, some of us don't want to admit we're angry at God. But today, because I know how not to be angry at God, I could tell you I was angry at God. I was disappointed in God. I didn't want to have anything to do with church. And sure enough, if you're a church person, you didn't have to just be Jehovah's Witness for me not to open a door. I love Jehovah's Witness people. But I was angry. And I turned my back on God. But he didn't turn his back on me. And during that process of me rejecting what was happening, I'm not saying that God wanted me to go through that experience, but it was part of my journey. He wanted the glory out of my experience. How many of you know that God wants the glory in your story? He wants the glory out of your story. He's after the glory. He's not trying to hurt us. He's not trying to punish us. But things happen to good people. And in that situation, things began to click. And I had to press into God. I went, and I told you y'all this before. We had some new people in the house. So you get fresh hear the story. Some people say, oh, she's telling that story again. But it's my story. I went out to the club. Searching. Looking. Trying to make sense of the pain that I had in other things and people and places. And met a guy on a dance floor that took me back to church. How you like that one? Maybe because I couldn't dance. What y'all think? She might as well go to church. I got in the pew at the church and I went with him to church and I heard the word. I forgot he was even there. It was something about the gospel that began to call to draw me in and said, but there's life and there's more life. There's life and there's abundant life. I know what you've been through, daughter, but I have something that's going to blow your mind. A situation that you don't even understand. You don't even understand the depth of how I am going to blow the ruach, the wind of God, and breathe on you and make your life so different than you ever expected. If you had told me years later I would remarry and tell me years later I would not have one but two more children, I said something was wrong with you. But God is God, and he said, I want to get the glory. I'm not doing this to punish you. What I'm getting ready to do is use you in areas that you never thought you could be used. There's a place... You know, there's a place that unless you've gone through certain journeys, you don't really know how to minister to people unless you've gone through certain journeys. If you ever had cancer, I bet you know how to preach against cancer. If you ever been delivered and set free from that, you know how. But my God, the doctor says this, but look at me, I'm a living testimony. And your testimony ain't not the fate of somebody else's testimony. We pray for people. And out of my experience, I learned how to pray. And I've seen people get healed. This is after my child died. I've learned how to go in and say, but we're going to pray. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray until something happens. We're going to pray for resurrection power. Jesus said, come on and walk with me, boys. This is the second time I'm trying to tell you what's getting ready to happen. You don't quite understand your situation. You don't quite understand what I'm saying. And some of us in this room this morning don't understand what God said. But he said, I'm going to get the glory. I'm going to get the glory. You already have victory. Just come with me. All right, if you say so, we'll follow. And continue to follow Jesus. Then we have the third prediction. in Luke chapter 18, 31 through 34. And he's with the disciples again. And he's been preaching the gospel. He's been showing them the way with the way of the gospel. And he's just preaching the gospel. And they're watching the miraculous happen. And with this third prediction, he began to say, but I'm saying it again. I will be crucified. But hear me. Death cannot hold me. Hear me. Dead things don't determine my future. Hear me. There's resurrection power. Hear me. I am more than able because of he who dwells inside of me. That grave cannot hold me. I will come up out of that grave on the third day. Hear me and hear me well. Don't look at your journey and faint. Don't faint on the walk. And later we find Jesus right before Passover, which, by the way, this coming Friday we celebrate Passover. We're right in the season. This is right the season where you can declare what God has already said. Pull it down. Speak over it. It's what I love about times and season. When you know how to operate in the times and season, you know that you can speak a thing and God will bring it through real quick. When you know the times and season, and something about the Jewish people, they know the times and the season, and Jesus was ready to celebrate the Passover. He's still walking his journey. I know this is a day of reckoning day. It's coming. And I'm going to look it in the face and say, come on with it. Like one of my uncles said, you're feeling froggy, leap. It's nothing for Jesus. Might not have been the easiest journey, but he didn't look at the pain. He looked at the victory. He looked at what was on the other side of the cross. The cross you're carrying today, the burden you're carrying today, there's an other side of that cross that leads you to victory. He's just good. He's just good. He's just good. He's just good. There's no failure in God. None. He can't fail because he is that he is. And I believe there was a person back in the Bible that his name was Moses, that God sent him to deal with Pharaoh. And he said, well, who do I tell him that? What authority do I have? Who do I say send me? He said, tell him I am. I am. I am. Fill in the blank. I am. And many of your Bible students in this, I won't go over that, but you know that that led to a crossover. You know that led to moving over something. This morning we are crossing over some things. We're passing over some things. The Pharaoh may be behind us. The storms might be after us. The persecution might be upon us. But when you just cross over, no matter what it looked like, on the other side there's victory. Jesus celebrating Passover. Remembering that great reckoning day where Pharaoh could not win. Take that, put in your pipe of smoke. There's no victory for you, enemy, because I come from the place of victory. I know not only he can, but he already has, and he'll do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Every plague that came and what was it? Every plague that came, God showed up. Every plague he turned, and what the young folks say, he turned up. Every place where a plague hit, he turned up in the middle of the situation. And he's a God that will do that. He'll turn up just for you. And then that's when he said, let's get the party started. I'm here. I'm in the house. I'm sorry, I gotta tell you, Jesus, I know he talked to me like that. I guess because I talk like that. But he turned up And when he show up, everything in him has to shift. So Jesus, at the time of Passover, returns to a place called Bethany. Returned to a place where there was a great resurrection that happened. That was prophetic before. It was a prophetic act as to what was to come for him. He returns to a place where there was a man called Lazarus. He sat at the table. And the Bible says, you know who was there? Lazarus. Mind you, this same Lazarus, a short time prior, had become so ill unto death. He died before Jesus got there. Not that Jesus was even in a hurry to get there. He didn't again. Why? He was in God's timing. Because in God's timing, when he showed up, things had to change. You know what? God is walking right towards you. You think that thing has died, but he's on his way. He's coming. He's coming. He's never late. You might think it's over. You might think it's late. But when he shows up, everything changes and turns around. And so when he got there, and he was already bound up, and there seemed to be people hopeless and hope deferred, when Jesus spoke, he had to come out of those grave clothes. When Jesus spoke, the grave could not hold him. When Jesus spoke, there was resurrection power. He turned up, and death couldn't hold anybody hostage. And the Bible says, when we get to John chapter 12, all this had happened prior to Passover. And Jesus, sitting at the table with the resurrected Lazarus and his sisters, hanging out. And he began to talk to them, and they talked. And you have Mary. She blows my mind. Oh, the love Mary had for the Father. Even in the midst of the death of her brother, she was brokenhearted. Possibly a little hope deferred. All the wind knocked out of her, and not understanding. Are you getting me? I keep saying understanding. That's somebody not understanding some things this morning, but God is going to give you revelation today. She didn't understand what was taking place. But Jesus showed up. And her eyes beheld his glory. Your eyes will behold the glory of God. What you don't understand, he's going to demonstrate his power in your situation. God is more than able. When there's a no and a consistent no, God is more than able to go in and turn that into a yes. He's able. I've seen him do it. On little things. Like a house. Banker said no. I said, but God, you said yes. He said, I sure did. A couple of days later, he called me back and said, you've been approved. I went to daddy. I went to daddy on that. When people say no and can't, God has a yes and an amen because he can. He's a God that is not limited by people. I'm so glad I know him. So we find that Jesus in the text, sitting there, and Mary comes, and she behold the glory of the Savior. And I believe her mind began to reflect on all that had happened and how he yet came through again. My Lord, my Savior, yet came through again. You did what was impossible, Father. I imagine her mind. You raised my brother from the dead when I didn't think it could be. Yet you did it again. I think that calls for an extravagant praise. She said, there's nothing I can do to show you how much I appreciate and love you. Girl went and got the finest perfume. Not for herself. She didn't pour it. You know, some of these perfumes are really expensive. And the Bible says this one was very costly. I saw a perfume the other day. It was $600. I didn't even bring it up to Pastor Mike. And I'm sure they're more expensive than that. But the Bible says it was expensive. It was costly. But because she so appreciated the Father moving, she moved with him. And she went and got her spikenard. I'm not going to put it on myself. This is not for me. I got to take this. Prepare my Savior. I got to lavish him. Anointed. The Bible says she took and she opened up her fragrance. Apparently the move was so powerful. She wept. She wept. And she dried the tears on her feet with her hair. She humbled herself before the King of Glory. Your praise shall be extravagant. Your worship extravagant. Worship him in an extravagant way. But you can't tell me her unselfish act didn't bless her too. There's no way you can put your hand on a fragrance and not get fragranced yourself. No way. When she touched that oil and began to put it on Jesus, the Lord said, I'm anointing you back, daughter. I'm giving you something back, daughter. I'm pouring something back inside of you because you're working in my will. Preparing him. You and I. For the victory ride. Let's ride together. The text says, he went on. Told his disciples, go and get a donkey and a colt. The Bible says he saddled on a donkey. Glory to God. It is humility. He saddled on a donkey. The King of Glory say, I humble myself. I could ride a horse, but I choose to ride this donkey to show I'm bringing my people peace. I'm coming to bring my people peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm coming to give my people peace in the middle of what they're getting ready to face. I am sure I am the King of Glory by riding on this donkey. Oh, there'll be a time he'll come with a war horse. But this was the symbolic to show I give you my peace in the middle of the storm. The people were so wowed because he had raised Lazarus from the dead. They wanted to kill not only Jesus but Lazarus as well, because Lazarus was a testimony. They came after Lazarus to kill him. They said, we're going to get Jesus, but let's get Lazarus too. But couldn't, because of the time and season. They couldn't touch him. This is your time and your season where you cannot be touched. You cannot be touched. They couldn't. They wanted to steal the testimony. They wanted to kill off the testimony. But the testimony couldn't be touched. a display of his glory, the display of his resurrection power, the display of God's glory in your life cannot be touched, because it has come for the miraculous glory of the King of glory. And he sat on that donkey, and the people went wild. Who is this to come fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah? Who is this that the king who come riding in on a donkey, making his proclamation that I am the king, and I'm humble enough to ride a donkey, but I'm wise enough to know I already have the victory. I already know what's on the other side. Let's take this victory lap. And he began to ride. And the people took out palms and coats. And he began to lay it on the ground. Can you imagine seeing the beautiful, those palms just laid out in the street, the coats laid out in the street to make a royal road for the King of glory? And the palms were symbolic of it was used, it's used in the Jewish tradition for the Feast of Tabernacles. Sukkot, is that how you pronounce it? Close enough, okay, good. And that was symbolic of the people, Jewish people, victory, and how they had temporary dwellings in the wilderness. Temporary structures, but also the harvest. And they begin to lay the palms in the street, because the first fruit was riding down that street. He was coming to harvest souls. He was coming so that we can harvest everything that he had already promised is going to be harvest. Hosanna! That's all they could think about. Hosanna! When they saw him come riding, Hosanna in the highest. You are the King of glory. And they began just to worship him and say, we see you as the Redeemer. We see you as the one with all power. And because you have power, we're hanging out with you. Hosanna. Hosanna. Repeat after me. Hosanna. Hosanna. The King of glory. Stand up on your feet. Hosanna. The King of glory. Ooh, ha. Hosanna, we thank you for your healing anointing in this place. We thank you that the testimony will not die. But what you have already done, you come to take it to a whole different level in this season. Ooh, healing in this, ooh, healing in this room. Healing, I feel healing. Ooh, Shabada Sata. Healing, Father, right now in the name of ooh, yeah, the waves of your glory. Waves of your glory. Oh God, you're doing something right now. You're changing mindsets right now. Oh God, I thank you, God, that we'll get a picture of your glory. We thank you, Father, for you being the friend that is already victorious, Father, and fighting our battles for us, God. We thank you right now for the victory, Father. Healing, come forth right now in the name of whoops, hey, come forth right now in the name of Jesus. Ooh, healing of kidneys right now in the name of Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody in here on dialysis? Anybody here on dialysis? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. So, Father, we come to pray for the kidneys right now, God. We come against any kidney failure right now in the name of Jesus. Any kidney problems right now, and we speak healing into that vital organ right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now for restored faith, God. Healing of faith right now, where there's been a place of unbelief, God. That faith is going to a different level today, God. Not only will you will, but you've already done it, God. A victorious mindset we walk away with this morning. Victory, 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 victory. As you've taken your victory ride, God, we will ride with you this morning out this lap, God. We will ride with you this morning, God. We will ride into that place of victory, Father. God, we thank you right now for a victorious mindset. You're a healer. You're a healer. Hallelujah, Jesus, you're a healer. Glory to your name, Jesus. Last Sunday, I wasn't feeling well. My blood pressure had started to elevate pretty high, and I was having a hard time regulating it. About 3 o'clock Monday morning, I got up, I got up about 12:30, and I wasn't feeling well, and I had this tremendous headache. And I took an aspirin, laid back down, went back to bed, and woke up again about 3. I still had that headache, and I was feeling very nauseous. So I woke my husband up. I said, I think we're going to need to go to ER. My pressure was like, 155 over 105. So he got up, got the girls up. But prayer changes things. He and the girls began to pray. And there were you all who were on the post praying for me. Headed to ER, they sent me back home. They didn't even take my money. I was glad. They sent me home. You know, when prayer can even save you some money. Went back home, got it back in the bed. I took my blood pressure. I went on and took my medicine, my hypertension medicine. Got back in the bed, and I haven't had high blood pressure since. It broke. And there are things that God is wanting to break in our lives, and it will be broken through the power of prayer. Do you believe it? Through the power of prayer. Not he's going to. He's already done it. It's a place of victory. Already healing. And deliverance. Anybody want prayer this morning? Prayer partners, will you come forth with you? Whatever it is that you want prayer for, let us touch and agree with you this morning. There's power in agreement. Minister Michael. There's power in agreement. We're pressing into victory this morning. That place of victory this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Healing, healing, healing this morning. Oh God, we thank you for the victory, God. Victory, victory, victory. Healing, healing. He's a healer. He's a healer. Thank you. God, for those of you who are in the audience, take out your oil that we gave you this morning, and go partner with somebody and you pray with them. Rub them with a little oil and pray with them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Before we dismiss, if you're praying, see, keep on praying. But I want to tell you a little bit about the oil that's in your possession. It's called the covenant anointing oil, and it represents the covenant we have with Jesus Christ. Do you know we're the body of Christ, which makes us the glorious bride of Christ? And the covenant oil that you have in your possession has three main ingredients. It has the frankincense and myrrh, which represents the bride. It has spikenard, representing the Holy Spirit. And it has hyssop, the cleansing before the Lord. I want you every day this week for the next 7 days, when you wake up in the morning, anoint yourself, anoint your loved ones around you, carry the anointing with you everywhere you go, because it's going to be on your hands, and let everything you touch receive that anointing. Decree and declare God's word over every situation. And watch God move, because he has covenant with you. He's already made a promise. your true ride or die. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And he will be with you in every situation. And every time you move your hand, you will smell that fragrance. Let God's fragrance overshadow you this season. And do you know that when you pray from a pure place, when you pray with a pure heart, and when you pray from the Word of God, the Bible says that your prayers go up like incense, like a fragrance unto the Lord. And he takes those sweet fragrances and he begins to respond to that. I decree and declare that we have an open heaven with answered prayers. Rapid prayers being answered and manifested before you even get it out your mouth so soon. Father, we decree and declare, God, expedient movement in this season, God. We thank you right now that the heaven is open, God, that the heaven is red, God, and that you're moving in the midst of our prayers right now. We thank you right now, God. Oh, Hosanna. Oh, Hosanna. We invite you into our situation. Oh, Hosanna. We say, come down our street. Oh, Hosanna, come to our home. Oh, Hosanna, come to our neighborhood. Oh, Hosanna, come in our heart. Oh, Hosanna, the King of glory. Oh, Hosanna, we welcome you in this place to tabernacle with us, to be in that dwelling place with us. We thank you. We thank you. Think about that situation. Say it right now. Lord, I thank you for the victory. In Jesus' name, have a wonderful week. Amen.